Like a boner.
Like a boner. Coming up on TMS, we had the best online webinar of all time.
Yes, we did. Howard Porter is the man.
U.S. Postal Service still trying to get that damn letter mailed.
Mystery Pooper has been captured.
Yeah, it does follow up. George R.R. Martin uses some old stuff to type his business.
Bieber is now a thief.
Lily Allen almost did a weird thing.
Another one? Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We'll find out what's going to happen next in today's story in just a few moments. But right now, I'm going to show you how easy it is to treat yourself to a nice hot cup of Ovaltine. Just heat a cup of milk, stir in 3 heaping teaspoons of Ovaltine. 1, 2, 3, and it's ready to drink. And what a drink! Anytime, but best of all at breakfast. Hot Ovaltine. It's good and good for you because Ovaltine supplies so many of the important vitamins and minerals children need. So, what's the way to start the day?
Hot Ovaltine, hot Ovaltine. That's the way to start the day.
Spock, sabotage the system.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Good morning, good morning, good morning in the news this morning. Good morning, it's Brian Ibbett over there. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm good. So glad that I know how many scoops of Ovaltine to dump into my...
3.
Into my milk.
3, yes, is my understanding.
And dump the Ovaltine into the thing.
Takes longer to put it in than it does to drink the damn thing.
Dump.
So make sure you
dump
the Ovaltine
dump
into the thing. Oop, I said dump too many too many times.
And then take a...
Oh, crap. I already moved it. Hold on. Take a what? Take a...
Dump.
There you go. Jeez.
Dump the rice into the thing.
All right.
He's taking a dump in a can.
We get it. Dump. We got it.
Wow.
Holy shite, everybody. Good morning. It's time for another show. Thursday, May 15th, 2014 is the date. And, itchy nose. Got an itchy nose. You ever get an itchy nose?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All right.
I scratch it. It's what I do.
Mm. Yeah, but do you ever feel like...
Or is it itchy inside?
Well, if you're in the car, right, and you're up at a... You're parked at a... Or you're not parked.
It's a scratch, not a pick.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I've had a few moments in my life where it clearly somebody thought I was doing the pick, but I wasn't. I was doing the scratch. Unlike my cousin, whose name I won't mention... Starts with a B, who doesn't listen to the show and wouldn't know a podcast if it bit him in the ass. It's Barry. My cousin Barry, he would pick his nose. He never itched. He just picked. He was a picker, man.
Yeah, just went right for it. Went deep.
Not Nissan. It was Datsun at the time. Remember that? Because Datsun first.
Of course.
Which is a stupid name for a car company. Anyway, which is probably good they changed it. I don't know how that all worked out. Someone bought somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
CEOs committed Harry Carey and the business went down to somebody else. That's how it worked in Japan in the 60s, or the 70s, or the 80s, wow. I guess. Anyway, you had one of those BM 520. I don't know what it was. It was this old
It's a Datsun.
Yes.
It's like a 280Z or a...
No, it wasn't even a cool car. It was like a crappy little beater car. It was kind of their equivalent of like a Honda Civic in those days. B52 is what I want to say, but then
bingo,
I got me a Datsun that seats about 3. So I
and
can't.
That's if you put somebody in the trunk.
That's actually kind of true. But anyway, he used to pick his nose and wipe his boogers on the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. No way!
Yeah, so you get in his car and glance over. It's like, oh, what do we got there?
There's a certain way that no one is ever going to ask to borrow your car.
It was like reading tea leaves, man. You're like, what?
Holy crap!
Booger pattern do we have on your wheel today? And everyone was always afraid to say anything because, you know, at some point something's so disgusting that you feel like if you say anything, you're opening the seventh seal of hell or something.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like and you can also, if you cut the steering wheel in half, then you can count the rings and tell how many years he's had his car.
Oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that in so long.
It was a rainy March, wasn't it?
Oh, Barry. My friend Mark, who listens to the show, I think, also had one of these cars. And my friend Dennis. I cannot think of the name of that car. It's going to piss me off.
Well, now we know why it's the Datsun B200 or 210 or whatever.
B210?
Those people in the chat room saying B210.
I think that's it. Datsun B...
B210.
It's B210. That's it.
B210.
Okay, I'm going to look at one. Oh, my gosh. That's the car. That's the car. All right, Brian. Have you seen the car? Here. Here.
I'm pulling it up right now.
I'll put it in the chat here.
I can Google this thing.
Yeah, yeah. There it is.
Oh, there it's right there, yes.
Now, his was color? His was red. My friend Mark's was also red, and my friend Dennis's was black, but only in so much that we kept putting coats of spray paint on the rust holes. It was a piece of poo, that car. Just junk. Yeah. Garbage. All right. Anyway, moving on. Hey, we got stuff today. Let's do some stuff. We got the Therapy Thursday coming up later in the program. People enjoy that on Thursdays. Later tonight, we got a TMS PM, so be around for that, 5:30 Mountain Time. Brought to you by Patreon.com/TMS, where you can support us in this endeavor. Inching ever closer to the no ads on TMS. Oh, man, that whole world is scary.
Wow, you know? No kidding.
That means we got to turn down advertisers, and the ones we accept are only people we like.
Yeah.
So, we get there, and man, the world changes a little bit. So, anyway, patreon.com/TMS is the site, and if you guys want to support us, you continue to do that. That's wonderful. All right, so check this out. Yesterday, you and I, speaking of advertisers, we're not going to say who. I'm not going to get into who because it isn't even it's not even a bad thing. It's just funny, and we really like them, so I don't want to. Act like we're besmirching
them. Any bridges there, exactly.
No, they're good guys. We like them. But we were invited to a webinar, as were many, many, many podcasters. That room was full of...
Christensen was there, Jeff Tanata.
Yep, Dan Benjamin and his crew.
5x5 guys.
Yeah. CBS was there. A whole bunch of people.
Yeah. It was all in a virtual conference room.
Yeah. All hanging out, waiting for this webinar/presentation to start. And at some point, we were all muted, and nobody was saying anything. And then at another point, we were all suddenly unmuted and could speak. And then I was remotely muted and unmuted about 3 times. I don't know why.
Right.
I think I was the test case or something.
Yeah, so just to kind of give some people some background. So this conference room utility that they were using, I don't even know what it was called, but
Blue Jeans something, I don't remember.
Yeah. On the right side, it gives you a list of everybody who's in the conference room, and then next to it, and you can see your name next to it, there's a little microphone icon, a little camera icon, and you could go in there and click the microphone off to mute yourself so that they wouldn't hear you if your phone goes off or if you're munching on a pancake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then same with the camera. You know, you could turn all that stuff off. Well, the moderator has the ability to go in there and unmute people. And so we're sitting here watching this thing, and everyone's quiet, and we're just kind of waiting for stuff to start.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in the bottom screen, we see the little person start talking, little J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, he looked like J.J. Abrams, which I think that joke may have been lost on a few people in that chat.
I think so.
But yeah, I knew exactly what you were saying, and I laughed, but my thing was muted because I kept getting muted and unmuted. So just so you know, I laughed because I got
it. That's all right. It was one of those highbrow jokes that...
If you didn't know, you would just go, whatever that guy's talking about. But I knew.
So we see them, they're talking, they're waving their hands like they're, you know, trying to explain something. And then all of a sudden people are unmuting the microphone saying, can you guys hear them? Can you hear them? I can't hear them. Nope, I can't hear them. No, I can't hear them either. Yeah. And slowly, little by little, all the podcasters start unmuting their microphones. Yeah. And it starts turning into this wave of like, if you can hear us...
Wave. Hold your hand up to your left eye. Cover your left eye if you can hear us, presenter.
Exactly.
And it started as very, you know, carefully, cautiously, like, oh, yes, we're here, but can you hear us? And it slowly devolved into Mystery Science Theater 3000, where we are all having a ball, laughing and having a good time at this thing. And at some point, I mean, they're struggling, obviously. They can't get the audio to work. They finally get to a point where they change the name of this beautiful presentation, this gorgeous backdrop, beautiful text, and they type over the top of it and change all the text to say, we are having technical difficulties. We probably are going to have to cancel, which looked like the funniest presentation you'd ever seen.
Right.
It was really,
really
fun.
Background. Yeah.
Oh,
but
my
if we would have recorded this, this thing could have been one of the funniest podcast pilots of all time.
It would have been, and it would have been like, it's like a Robert Altman film of podcasters.
Right, yeah, totally.
Like everybody
Battle
and everyone.
Of the network stars.
And it's almost like, and everybody was so casual with each other. Like when my ugly mug was on that screen way too long, I don't know what was going on there. Why were they using my camera?
That's right. Yeah. In the process of trying to figure out their own microphone, they started unmuting people and then they took Scott's video off mute.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Scott's on display in their conference room, which now we're seeing on all of our screens.
Yeah, this raggedy old horrible webcam shot of me with the sun behind me. It looked terrible. And they kept it up there. And then it pulls it and everyone starts cracking jokes like, boy, you know, this presentation could use a little more Scott Johnson in it. And blah, 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 blah. Like it was a really funny, fun, goofy meeting that we'll probably never get to have again. Like there'll be a presentation again, I'm sure. But will we have that opportunity? Will the mute option be ours to take off and talk to each other? Probably not.
Right.
So it was a special moment. I really wish we would have recorded it. It would have been would have been fantastic. Anyways, that was good times.
Lost to the annals of history.
That's true. You said something that made me laugh so hard, and I cannot remember now what it was, but you said something like, oh, what was it, dude? It was classic.
I can't even remember. Like during the thing?
It was toward the end before we got cut off. It was maybe after they had said, yeah, we're going to have to postpone it. Sorry, everyone, or whatever. And then you said something. Oh, my gosh. That was so I can't remember it. It was so funny, though. I was doubled over. I was muted. So, again, nobody can hear me. Anyway, good times were had by all yesterday. Webinars. It's the future.
Right.
I have to give a big, giant shout out to this sounds terrible. I look at this headline now. The headline is huge shout out to Howard Porter for his package.
Well, at least it wasn't a shout out to Howard Porter for his huge package. That could have been far worse.
Or I've done him a disservice by not putting huge in the right place. I don't know. Anyway, Howard Porter. You might be familiar with him. You might not be. But if you are a reader of comic bookery and you've enjoyed recent years of JLA, the Justice League of America, starring Batman, Superman.
Batman.
The Wonder Woman.
Right.
Fishman. And the others and the rest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Marianne, the professor, you know. Then you have enjoyed his work. If you've read the Geoff Johns giant Flash compendium ultra thing, the big long Flash run that Geoff Johns did.
Yeah.
He is the artist on that. He's also a writer, artist, inker, colorer, everything. Multi-talented. Awesome dude.
Holy cow. Wow.
So, Howard Porter is a fan, I guess. Turns out. Didn't know this. Doing frog pantery things, right?
Way cool.
Sees on Facebook that I said something about Nick and his surgery. And he sent Nick this giant box full of comic books. And I added up the cost of each of these trades and this big Geoff Johns compilation and all this other stuff. Like $200 worth of comics in there.
Oh, wow.
And it's all got his signature on everything. And he did an original piece of Batman art, like on paper, ink and paper, and some pencil. You ever seen paper?
I've seen paper. I've seen pencil.
Have you? Okay, good. Those are way down at the bottom of the ocean now. That guy had to go way low to get it.
Aw, I thought they'd float.
Only Costner can get down there because he has gills, you know.
Gotcha.
And then he pees on a tree and drinks it. Anyway, so he sends all this stuff, and in there is this thing that says, "Get well soon, Nick," from Batman. With a big smile on Batman's face. And it's not just some silly Batman. This is like a tough looking, armored up, badass looking Bruce Wayne in full costume, kind of a bust shot of him.
Holy cow.
It's so cool. It was the nicest thing, and it came out of kind of nowhere, and I didn't expect it. And it was just the nicest, nicest thing. And we are inches away, I believe, from convincing him that he should come to Nerdtacular. So we may even have that going on. Yeah. Anyway.
In any case, I'm starting to feel a little sick. I feel like I'm going to be infirmed for a while.
Oh, Howard, you know, Brian, you know, it's not the same as an appendicitis, but whew. And of course, I benefit from this directly because he can't read all those comics at once, you know?
Of course.
So I'm going to have to help him out there a little
bit. Sure.
It's like a big meal. I got to pick at it and help him so he can get the whole thing down. I understand.
That's awesome.
Anyway, really nice guy. Big
thanks. I'm going to throw a big shout out too then to Walter in Naples, Florida, who after our discussion about Arrow the other day, and you saying, just skip season one, go right to season two. You'll watch the recap and you'll know what's going on. Yeah. He sent me the Blu-ray DVD Ultraviolet of season one of Arrow.
Oh.
So now I have to watch season one.
Oh, yeah, you should. You should if you've got it. I mean, there's no reason.
Of course I'm going to.
Yeah, I mean, it's streaming and stuff, but if you got a Blu-ray version, you have to watch it now.
Well, apparently it's only streaming, like, the most recent six episodes are the only ones you can get streaming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you'll like the sister. I haven't mentioned that yet.
Oh.
Arrow's sister. Arrow Jr., we'll call her.
Right?
She's a hottie.
Will I be all a quiver when I see her?
Oh, I see what you did. You'll be green with envy. They usually don't even mention the color ever. They never talk about green on that show. Isn't that interesting? It's always just Arrow. Nobody calls him that even. It's just dude running around vigilante style doing cool stuff. And people talk about him like, you know, what? Oh, here's the other thing. I should warn you. One final warning about Arrow, all right? Arrow, which I, by the way, I hear the final couple episodes were amazing this season, so I gotta catch up. But anyway, what was my point? Oh, you know how it is on the WB or the CW, whatever they're calling themselves now? Everyone's pretty, right? Nobody's ugly. And this, Brian, bleeds into the police dude who's kind of like the, I know something's up here. I'm going to find out who this vigilante is guy. Even him and this guy in his grizzled 50s. Mm-hmm. Is the best looking 50-year-old they could find. Handsome as as the day is long.
It's the pretty CW cast.
Yeah,
basically.
You can't help it. They can't help it. Everyone's a pretty little liar over there. All right, what are we doing here? Gotcha. Oh, that's it. Howard Porter. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's call Daryl.
Get.
I have to lean over again because I haven't fixed my thing. I know what to do. Actually, that's not. Hold on, everybody.
All right.
I know Jeannie likes this. Jeannie likes it when I lean away.
Of course.
Because that's how she do. That's how she rolls. All right, let's see. Daryl's coming in. That means gotta have this going out. It's Dump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Get out your sparkly, light, bright remote control and listen to the Quantum Leap podcast. Listen as Albie, a Quantum Leap veteran, examines each episode with Heather on her first viewing of this classic show with guest interviews and more. Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen or learn more and support the show at patreon.com/quantumleappodcast.
Your goal today, chat room, and the people listening at home, is to send us Snapchats you think we'll find funny.
Yes, now that I'm all hooked up, I got a few yesterday, so...
I got a kombucha photo from Cleo 48... Oh, maybe I'm not supposed to say the full name. But anyway, that might be our Cleo, I don't know. I'm actually not sure.
Ooh, why do I have a 7? I have a number 2 in the bottom left, which is how many I've received. What is the number 7 on the bottom on the bottom right?
I don't know. That's new, actually. Oh, that's all new. I wonder what that is. What is this? Is this just... This is all new. I don't know what this is.
Okay.
They've added something to the service.
Interesting.
Okay. Daryl, I get a few from Daryl occasionally, which are always a hoot. Daryl Skeels is on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello,
Trek Nerd Man. How are you?
I'm good.
Trek Nerd Man! Does he have a power?
Same power he's always had. The power to answer questions.
Oh, okay.
And ask us.
Not to make that sound too boring or anything, but yeah.
same power. Same power.
You might call it trivial, that power. Get it? Trivial. Get it? Trivia. So, Daryl, it's good to have you back, and we're going to talk some Trek. And I had a dream last night about Star Trek that I thought I would share. And I think I had this dream because I went to bed listening to... I like drone-y, kind of spacey music. I wouldn't even call it music. It's more like ambient noise in a weird way. Not like the... TNG, like engine noise stuff we talked about, but like, I don't know what to compare it to. If you've ever played EVE Online, that game's full of that kind of stuff. It's just space, you know, you're in space. And it helps me kind of drift off, and I like it. It's nice meditation-y kind of stuff. And I'm listening to that, and I fell asleep to it. And I think that's what caused this. And also, it's one of those nights where I'm wearing my tweaked audio earbuds, and it completely encompasses all the sound. It's all I can hear. I wake up at like 3 in the morning in the worst cord tangle of my life. Just all up my face, my around my arm. I take it off. My wrist was like pinched to the point that it was, I think my hand was turning purple. Like it was, I had cord everywhere. It was awful. Anyway, point being, I dreamt that they rebooted Star Trek as a brand new series, and they went totally like kind of like modern era serious, like you know, a Star Wars or Star Trek always kind of had this almost like a stiffness to it. I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it was always how do I explain it? Just you know, Picard walking into a room. There's not a lot of shaky cam. There's not a lot of like hard angles or close-ups or any of that. No BSG going on with Star Trek, right? But in this version, they did, but somehow. And so they moderned it up so it felt like something new, and the effects were awesome and all that stuff, but they still kept the dignity and the kind of, they didn't need to make everybody all flawed and jacked up. So the captain was truly a, you know, a stalwart dude in Starfleet, and all the crew were, you know, on board and everything. And it was all about the whatever cool mystery in space they had to deal with the next, you know, from week to week. And it all kind of made sense in my head, this full season of awesome Star Trek. And man, I woke up from that so disappointed that I just dreamt it. I want new Star Trek so bad. And yeah, movies are fine. Keep the movies coming. That stuff's great. But I want me some straight up
TV show.
Week to week, new cast. Don't have to go reboot something. I don't want that. I want something new, creative, interesting. The way I felt when TNG hit the air and you were like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
You're hired.
I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, hire me. I'm better than Berman or...
Sure, you can just dream up the episodes.
What were their names? Berman and Jim Bob? Who are the two that kind of...
I'm not thinking Ronald Moore, right?
No.
Oh, Rick Berman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Rick Berman, that's his name. And who's the other guy? There are two guys that are always producers on that stuff.
Rick Berman.
Berman. What's his power? Ruinous franchise? His power?
Able to insert a holodeck episode into every sixth show. Excelsior.
I think you're being generous. That's what I think you're being. So I just got a really funny photo from Devilish 713 on Snapchat of him.
Then I got the same one.
It says Taco Beard.
Oh, no, I didn't get that one. I got a picture of a dolly.
Oh,
there's bearded Taco.
Yeah, you see that? Isn't that great?
My gosh. Dude.
Then Cleo sent me
Top called.
Cleo sent me one of something written on a note, but the problem is it mirrored it, so it's all backwards, and she only had it up for 3 seconds, so I have no idea what it said. Anyway, Daryl, there's your
one for me too.
Oh, you did? Oh, good. Oh, yeah, I did with the little nose thing. What's that? What is that?
That's lens flare. That's like reflecting off of the ceiling lights.
I'm freaked out. Don't even know what to say about it. Daryl, it's
J.J. Abrams right here.
It is, right? So, Daryl, you're here. It's time. It's the trivia. So let's do it. Here's a trivia question regarding Star Trek. You're going to try to answer it. And it goes like this. In the original series episode, Whom Gods Destroy, Kirk and Spock beam down to Elba 2. And it's asylum they're in. It's some sort of asylum. To deliver some new medicine that may cure mental illness, they meet with Dr. Corey, the man who runs the asylum. What does Kirk say to this man? Or I'm sorry, what does Kirk say this man has? What? How does that work? What title does this man have? Sorry. Title does he have? Is it A, President, B, Governor, C, Commodore, D, Chancellor?
Ooh.
You know what's funny is I have default extensions for all of these names I just gave you. So whenever default. I would say President, I would say Eisenhower, always.
Oh, okay.
The ones that just roll on. Governor, I'd say Schwarzenegger every time. Commodore, I'd say 64.
64.
Chancellor, I'd say Palpatine, even though it's got nothing to do with Chancellor.
No, Chancellor Palpatine.
Was it Chancellor Palpatine?
Yeah, before he became the Emperor, sure.
Yeah. It's either Emperor or Chancellor, but I always think of that. But Commodore 64, I mean, how can you not?
Yeah.
The Commodore has arrived. Oh, there's more. I got another one.
Oh, Brandon Braga is the other one, the other the co-creator.
That's the guy, yep. Is he as reviled as the other guy? Ooh, I got a scary one from Keldog7. Ugh.
Don't send me scary ones.
Daryl, while you think about it, there's no food yet because you guys didn't get yours. I don't know why, but I'll sit on this. I'll sit on this Australian stuff a little longer. And we haven't heard from that dude, so I don't know what's going on. But I'm sure it's coming. Let's talk about birthdays instead. Who's celebrating one today?
Well, that would be Rob Bowman. He's 54 today. He directed 13 episodes of TNG and was the voice of the first Borg in Q-Who.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, the whole You Will Be Assimilated, Resistance of Futile guy?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. What a cool thing on your resume that must be.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Wow.
That's like being told you're the voice of Optimus Prime, or you're the voice of Optimus Prime. I can't think of anyone else. That's it. So I got two things to play for you real quick. One is Data laughing. All right, that's that.
Oh, jeez.
The next one is what I thought was Leo Laporte.
Oh, yeah, okay, this is great.
So tell me if you think, I played this for Brian yesterday, but does this sound like Leo Laporte to people listening to the show? It does to me, so here you go. Like a casual moment with Leo Laporte.
Spock, sabotage the system.
No, that's not it. Damn it. Sorry, this one. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, here's this one.
I love it. Okay. All right.
All right. Is that not... I know it's Shatner, but does that not sound like Leo, like on the mic?
Sound like Leo, yeah.
Goofing around.
A little bit, yeah.
Totally. Drobo. All right. And then here he was later. This is actual Leo right here. Here you go. Okay, great. So, anyways, perfect. I just wanted to share that with you. Birthdays, anybody?
I just told you that.
Oh, did you already do birthday? Oh, you did. The Borg man. Got it. All right. Sorry.
You are a little off today.
I'm a little off. Well, maybe it's this naked drink. So, I did some research. We heard yesterday that the naked brand thing that PepsiCo owns, that Chinbeard's all into drinking. There's a lot. There was a lawsuit for $75 million, some class action thing that said these were not nearly as healthy as they claimed, that they contained a bunch of artificial GMO, because it says no GMOs, or at least it used to say that. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It says no preservatives, no added sugar, no non-GMO, meaning genetically modified organs. No. Optimus. What? What's the O for? Organisms. That's it. Genetically modified Optimus, yeah. Gluten-free, vegan. Okay, so that's what they always have claimed, but somebody had claimed, no, there's some genetically modified hoo-ha in there, and they took him to court, and they settled out of court or something. And anyway, I still like him, so F off, everybody. I'm going to keep drinking him. I don't care if you don't like it or not. That's all I wanted to tell you about that.
All right, jeez.
Yeah.
Daryl, it's back to the question then, since I already asked you about birthdays twice. What is the answer to this question? Do you think he referred to him as president, governor, commodore, or chancellor?
Well, let's see. President. I'm going to do my little things. President is always George Washington. Mm-hmm. Commodore is always. Who is it? Commodore Decker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From or was that captain? I'm thinking from the Doomsday Machine.
Yeah, but you're right that there's a. Is that the right guy, though? Commodore.
Commodore Lesage. Lesage, but it was Commandant. Commandant Lesage.
It's French for Commandant
Lesage. I'm going to just not do this. Cancel my stupid...
No, I like it. It's fun. You can keep going. Governor, what'd you do for governor?
That's what they say in Australia for everybody. Governor? Everybody's the governor.
I don't think that's Australia, but yeah,
the,
sure.
The UK, but I think okay,
that's
sure.
I think that's like,
whatever. I don't know.
And in London, they say, put a shrimp on the Barbie. I like it. Chancellor, come on, one more. Chancellor.
Chancellor is all
that's
German.
Australian for
all the Germans.
The Germans, right. No, that works. The Germans always had a chancellor doing stuff.
Yeah.
Chancellor Kohl. Well, they have them now, I guess, don't they? Yeah, they are a chancellor now. Chancellor Kohl, Chancellor. Who's the lady? There's a lady now. Von Bingerheimer. I don't know what it is. My geopolitical knowledge on Germany is a little shy right now. I'm sure she's wonderful though. And yeah. And can I just say this? Why is America so slow to have a female leader? Everyone else does. Everyone does. Everybody's got them. Well, not everybody, but a lot of them do. France has had them. Britain's had them. Germany's got them. Japan, I think. No, Japan didn't. Japan's all dudes. That's a sausage factory over there. No ladies up in the high bits. But I feel like we ought to have been there by now here in America. I feel like there ought to be that. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Maybe next time. Although I don't want Hillary Clinton. She drives me crazy. Can't do that one. She's no good. No good Hillary Clinton. Okay? All right. Okay. Didn't she have some people killed or something? There's something weird going on with her.
What?
Am I make that up?
Well, I threw a shoe at her last week. But
well, no, it wasn't that. It was like a
couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Some feminist lady in the audience threw a... Mm-hmm. Was she a feminist? There was some article about some feminism something organization she belonged to. Or I don't know.
I have no idea if that's why someone threw a shoe at her. But
wasn't it she had some guy...
Didn't she have some guitar thing? Something
I don't remember. But she just seems mean, so I don't want her in. You know? Any more than I wanted Bob Dole. He looked like he was going to scold me every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Bob Dole says, clean your room.
I'll stab you with my pan.
Bob Dole says, you're not wiping good enough. Bob Dole says, I'm tired of cleaning your skid marks. Bark, 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 bark. All right, Daryl, speaking of skid marks, let's get back to this here. President, governor, commodore, chancellor, go.
Okay, I'm going to say governor because none of the others make any sense.
You say governor or governor?
Yeah.
Oh, governor?
You say. All right, now I'm just curious. Maybe it's a northwest kind of pronunciation or something.
Governor. Governor.
I always say governor. Governor.
Governor.
Governor. I govern. He is the man that governs. Okay, so you say governor, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's find out.
Congratulations.
Perfect week.
You're a winner.
Did it again. Yay. Dr. Corey is the governor of the Elba 2 Asylum and Colony. However, it turns out to be Garth of Izar in disguise. He then holds Kirk and Spock prisoner. Here's a clip of Garth of Izar revealing himself to Kirk and Spock. Not that kind of revealing. What? Get your mind out of the go. Oh, he's telling me that I didn't think of it that way. Oh, whatever. Here you go.
Corey?
Yes, Jim. Corey. It's true. He tricked you.
You said you wanted to see me, Captain.
Well, here I am.
Who's laughing?
Well, there's a lot of laughing going on in that
clip. Yeah, who is that guy?
That's the crazy guy.
Okay.
That's Garth.
That's Data. Sorry. Nicely done, Daryl. You've nailed it, man. 2 weeks and 3 weeks in a row, I want to say. We're like working on a month of nailing it.
Wow, dude. Somebody's getting a lot of charitable donations going on.
Yeah. Who was that, and are we sure that's happening? Do we know if that's happening? I hope that's happening.
Yeah. We'll leave it up to them to make sure it's happening.
All right. And by the way, you know what? Save your typing fingers, everybody. I don't really think Hillary Clinton had somebody killed, but there was some kind of weird murder.
Well, you might be thinking about like the Benghazi situation.
It wasn't
having somebody killed though. It was like
it wasn't that. It was like it was when her husband was president. And there was somebody who got killed and there was all this suspicion. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. What do I know? I don't know anything.
There was something with the not a guitar, a cigar.
There was that, dude. Yes.
I hope there was no guitar involved in that way. That seems like trouble.
Bad enough.
That seems like trouble. All right, Daryl's going to now play a game with us. We don't know what it's called yet. What is it?
Oh, neither do I, but now I do because I'm looking at it. Star Trek Biological... No, I did that one already.
Right.
Yes. Star Trek biological molecule or actual biological molecule.
All right. I feel ready. Go.
Ceofurane.
Ceofurane?
Maybe I should ask a different question. No, I'll ask this one. No, let's just stick with it.
All right.
Ceofurane.
Ceofurane.
I'm reading into this a bit, but it seems like with him struggling with it, it seems like it might not be Trek.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
So that's leaning me in the direction of actual one.
Let's say real.
Yeah, real.
That was a good tactic.
Yeah.
It's a Star Trek molecule.
Wow.
Ah, crap, dude. I wouldn't have guessed that. Well played, Daryl. Way to go.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Need Supplemental Income That Works With Your Schedule?
Yes.
Tallgrass Talent Group is now hiring promotional models and in-store demonstrators. Representing major brands from top marketers, Tallgrass Talent Group helps marketers launch new products by introducing those brands to customers across the U.S. Go to bit.ly/tallgrassapply to apply or email holly.cuppy@tallgrasstalentgroup.com for more information.
Oh, it's the cutest person who just sent us a nice little...
A little Snapchat?
All the Snapchats I get, except for that one naked lady, have been awesome lately. Just right, nice people doing nice things during the day.
I get that one, too. I did just get, like, two of them here.
Oh, Flappy Cheeks is my favorite, though.
Ooh, I get a skull.
Yeah, I got that, too. Oh, Chancellor Gowron, someone sent a picture of.
Chancellor Gowron!
Someone sent me a Pepto-Bismol bottle.
Oh, cute little white husky dog.
I feel bad about the Pepto guy.
Barking at us. Nice.
Do whales have boobs? Because I really want to know is one of these. There's a dog that's nice. Talking. Oh, these are great. You know, regular folk doing regular things. I love it. Keep that
we
coming.
Love regular folk doing regular things.
So I didn't tell you what happened. The naked photo person. I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
So I never really explain this much on the air because I'm not trying to. I don't want to shame anybody. I'm not interested in that.
On episode number 586, you mentioned a naked photo. At 1 hour and 18 minutes into the...
Well, good, because we're going to actually explain it now. Because I have mentioned it before, but only briefly.
Okay.
I'm sure this person's nice and all that, but I keep getting these for a while there. I'd say over the last month or so, a handful of photos from somebody who was clearly trying to be naked. All right?
In stages of...
Undress,
yes.
Yeah, except... One couple of times, pretty much there are no other stages left. Final stage. level. It's the boss level.
Right.
So, anyway, these kind of came and whatever. And they don't know me very well because I'm not the kind who goes, ooh, okay, let me go. I need to go run in a room and hide this and keep this to my little secret, right? As soon as the first one came, I go, Cam, come here. And she came running, and I go, you got to see this quick. It's only got 3 seconds left.
Look, boobs.
Look, check it out. And she laughed, and, whatever. That's how we roll. We're a talkative couple. I don't hide things.
Sure.
So fine, whatever. But I thought I was getting punked. I figured this was just some goofball user, and it may still be, who's sending these, like, screen, from his computer screen or something. Right, I don't know. And, putting these little nefarious little notes on there and all this stuff.
Well, believe it when she's holding up a piece of paper that says, hey, Scott and Brian, see it in Nerdtacular.
Yeah, something like that. Oh my gosh, no, please don't do that. But anyway, so these kind of here and there, and I was just, I'd just be skeptical and go, all right, sure, whatever. Who is this? It's like Bill Cosby and Noah, when Noah is not sure it's really God. It's like that.
Who is this?
Right, all that stuff. So I get one. Probably 2 weeks ago, last one I got. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me that the way this person was, they couldn't have taken the photo. Someone else had to have taken it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And I went, now, wait a minute. If this is a selfie, you don't have three arms. And that one arm isn't 6 feet long. So somebody took this photo. So I said, who took the photo? And that's the last I heard. So I think I may have bumbled them in their attempt to fool me is what I think I did. I don't know, actually. I really don't know. But yeah, there you go. No names. I'm not shaming anybody. To each their own. But
they have timers on camera phones now, right?
I guess you do, but you'd have to have like a stand or something. And the way this thing was angled, there's no way. It just that didn't look right.
All right.
I could be wrong. I don't know what this could be. This could be... We think Ice Worm is a dude in Colorado. For all I know, he's a lady in Canada. I don't know what's going on.
We've never seen proof.
No, we've never. I've never.
Pure Ice Worm.
Oh, I've seen him, but also saw the Crying Game. I said the Hunger Games. I was pretty sure that guy that played Ra in the Stargate movie was a dude the whole time, or lady. I was pretty sure he was a lady.
Yeah.
Dude looks like a lady. There you go. All right, news today. U.S. Postal Service still trying to deliver a letter it sent in 1945. Oh, this is quaint. You know what I should do for this? Hold on.
Yeah, this deserves something.
Let's see. I need something like Something jazzy. All right, here we go. You ready for this? In 1945, a letter was addressed to a Western Michigan couple and mailed from a sergeant at Army Base in New York State. Apparently, never reached Mr. and Mrs. Sessenbaugh of Washington Avenue in Muscatoon. Nope, Muscon, Muscagon.
Muskegon. Muskegon.
Shite.
Squeery.
All right, I won't even attempt it. Nearly 70 years later, postal officials are hoping to find relatives to deliver the letter to. The Muskegon Chronicle reports something something on Wednesday. A vintage sealed material. What? A vintage sealing
material.
A vintage sealing material on the back gives the appearance that the letter never has been opened, postal officials told the newspaper. Quote, we're not going to disturb it until we can see if we can find the family first, said Veronica Mlula, a secretary in the Muscatoon Postmaster something something. Sergeant Myron C. Cook. That's a name right there. He says... Hold on, something went fishy with the doc. What's going on? Oh, there it is. That's weird. Man, lately, doc's been weird.
Doc,
name is the listed sender. Somehow the letter made its way to Minnesota, where it was placed in the mail. 2013 postmark from Minneapolis was stamped over the original 1945 postmark. We think somebody put it back into the mail stream. Now, two things I learned from this. One, it's way cool that this thing's still circulating trying to find its owner and that no one's opened it or disturbed it. That's number one. Number two, they refer to it as the mail stream. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, you right. can just stick something in it, like, it shoots right. off into a tube, and now it's in the stream.
It's in the stream.
That's awesome. Like those pneumatic
whatever,
tubes.
Whatever they think they can do to make mail seem cool again.
Yeah. Now, you're not... I know you pretty well. I feel like you might be like me in this one way that I'm about to describe.
Okay.
Right. I would look forward... I would want to build... Okay, there's two things when I was younger I swore I would build when I was an adult. One is a giant foam pit, which we've discussed before, to jump into. Okay? I wanted a huge pit.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like what we saw in Nothing But Trouble. Like
yes.
They all landed in. Sure.
Yes. And, sure. But full of like big hunks of torn apart foam, big cubes of foam that I could jump like 20 feet into and just have fun with. Okay? That's one thing. And I'm not convinced I still can't do that one day. So still in the plans. Second thing is a pneumatic tube network through the house.
Oh, sure. Like the bank has. Oh,
I love that, dude. And the one they had, like the stuff they had in like Hudsucker Proxy where it was just like everywhere. I would love that. I'd send everything that way.
Donnie anyway. Says vacuums.
Vacuums?
Yeah. I was wondering if that was a reference that was going to skate by. Do you remember a show called Just Shoot Me?
Yes, I do.
David Spade. Mm-hmm. And,
it was okay. It was all right.
It was okay. I think thinking of David Spade, now that I'm thinking about it,
totally David Spade.
It was David Spade. Yep. But David Cross made an appearance on there as Donnie, as this guy named Donnie, who was the mentally handicapped brother of the main actress.
Oh, right.
I can't remember her name.
I can't either. Here it is. I got it in front of me. That's... Oh, is that
not,
Lauren?
Not Wendy Malick.
No, it's Lauren Sangiacomo.
Yes, Laura Sangiacomo. Yes. Anyway, and he apparently has been fooling the entire family into thinking that he's mentally handicapped his entire life.
Oh, all right.
So that he can get whatever he wants. And okay. So, you know, the main guy, David Siegel, whatever his name, can't remember his first name, but is explaining that they've got these pneumatic tubes that go all through the whole magazine and that it's...
George Siegel, thank you.
And it's magnets. Look, it's magnets that makes all this stuff go through. and David Cross is doing his best to like say, no, Donnie thinks vacuums. No, Donnie, it's magnets. No, Donnie thinks vacuums.
What an interesting thing for you to remember about a show from the 97.
Pneumatic tubes. That's the first thing that came to mind.
That's great.
And you can tell the few people in the audience who remember this with because they were doing the other line from this was chicken pot pie, which was what Donnie used to always.
Well, you know who's in anyway. That. You know who's in that show. Enrico Cagliatoni, who is known for "Yeah, you will come and save our planet."
That's right.
We are so happy. That guy. Yes, he's also in Veronica Mars, which drives me crazy because he's the dad, and I can't see him as anything but the alien. So there you go.
He does quite a bit of guest appearances and character acting and stuff
like
that.
Because his planet is going to be destroyed. All right, what else we got here? We got remember the mystery pooper, and they put up a big billboard to try to catch him.
They had a bunch of it, like a rotating video billboard, right?
Yeah, that they said, did.
Do your part and stop this turd or something like that. I don't think that was one of the puns that they used, but
it was pretty close. Police in Michigan have successfully deterred and held. I don't think they meant that, but I'm going to take
deterred.
It anyway. They have deterred the infamous mystery pooper from defecating on the park slide. Remember, it was the park slide he was pooping on.
Yes. If this wasn't Huffington Post, I would have said that was absolutely an accidental use.
Yeah, but not this time. Yeah.
Deterred, but no, HuffPo knew what they were doing.
No, they've shown their cards before, and we know what they're doing. The police made contact with the unidentified suspect following a streak of what officials call weird and deliberate defecations on the same playground slide between November 2013 and April 2014. The individual's identity has not been revealed, and no charges have been filed. Police say the suspect is a resident of a halfway house near Ysplantes. Am I saying that right?
Ysplantes.
Yeah. Prospect Park.
Ysplantes, yeah.
Police said no additional defecations have occurred since they made contact. Well, good. This whole saga has generated a lot of interest in Prospect Park around the country. It's great that the police were able to put a stop to this just as the weather warmed up, City Council member Brian Robb told the Michigan Live show. That's fantastic.
Kids are going to want to slide on that slide.
That's right. We want our children to slide with impunity.
And not have to worry about skid marks
that aren't theirs. There's your news. We do have some celebrity poop, but before that, HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com. That's what that guy said every time he used the park. You know what I'm saying?
This section of the show dealing with pooping on slides is brought to you by HelloFresh.
That's right. They are awesome. I love these guys. And I was talking to them yesterday, and they are super stoked about the podcast community. They're not so, you know, great. Shows are cool, whatever. But they're more interested in the fact that you guys seem to be kind of awesome. They really like you as our audience. And as it turns out, you really like them. Those who can get it in their area have been loving it. And get this week's recipes from fantastic real chefs. Say, you know what? I like that Stroganoff Von Barker Von Chopper Nuts and whatever it's called. And they'll send it to you with free shipping, and it'll come right to your door, and it's all the farm fresh ingredients, and you make it in 30 minutes or less, and then your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever you got there, your significant other goes, wow, I didn't even know you were capable of such things. Get 50% off that at HelloFresh.com by using the code MORNINGSTREAM. That's all one word, no space, no caps, none of that, just MORNINGSTREAM. 50% off. Check them out today. You won't be disappointed.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
I, Geek Girl, a.k.a. Jessica Hips, am wanting to expand my crochet business, J.H. Crafter Custom Creations, by raising some funds through GoFundMe, tinyurl.com/JHCrafter. I'm wanting to start including new and exciting sewn items, but to do this, I need some help. My sewing machine has seen better days and hasn't been working correctly, not to mention all the new materials I'm going to need to start making stock. Please help if you can, and I will send you a coupon code as a thank you to use at my Etsy shop. Thank you so much.
Lovely. We like her.
That's tinyurl.com/JHCrafter. And, you know, because of the awesome mittens and scarf that I've received, I'm absolutely going to contribute to this.
Absolutely. Why not? Do it today.
Yeah, I'm going to do it today.
George R.R. Martin. he's the Game of Thrones man. He's writing them books.
Right.
America's number one nerd.
Right like the wind, George R.R. Martin.
That's right. He is our Tolkien. He is the man. But he also, as it turns out, not just a fan of weird hats, suspenders, and high pants. Those aren't his only likes.
He has more than that?
He writes all of his books, everything he's ever written, including what he's working on for the next book and final in the series, I believe, using DOS and an old word processor. WordStar 4.0, Brian. WordStar. When is the last time? Now, keep in mind, WordStar is like the face. It's like MySpace to WordPerfect's Facebook. Think about it that way. That WordStar is so old, Facebook came along and destroyed it.
Right.
That's how old it is. He writes all of his best-selling books using WordStar 4.0 on a DOS machine, so don't distract him, says this article. The next time someone makes fun of you for never updating Microsoft Word or still typing on an old iMac, consider yourself on the cutting edge compared to George R.R. Martin. The Game of Thrones author confessed to late-night talk show Conan O'Brien that he prefers to write his popular books on a DOS word processor instead of on the latest laptop. I have two computers, Martin told Conan, and I will kill one of them without any warning. No, he doesn't say that. I have a computer I browse the internet with, and I get my email on, and I do my taxes on, and then I have my writing computer, which is a DOS machine not connected to the internet. I use WordStar 4.0 as my word processing system, and that's just fine by him. He also went on to say he hates spell checking. Hates it.
Really?
Yeah, doesn't use
it. Well, probably because he has so many goofy words and stuff in there that and names and stuff like that. That
everything would be right underlined.
Why does it keep trying to correct Braun to Bran?
Yeah, plus it would probably, I mean, that's just distracting from your writing. Like,
yeah,
you'd right. see all those underlined red words and just go, I think you can turn that stuff off, though. I think. Like in Word and stuff, you don't have to have that on. Mm-hmm. I don't like Word anyway.
No, you can disable that. No, I prefer... I actually like Pages.
I like Pages too.
Call me an Apple fanboy, but it's
I like
clean.
It too. It's simple and easy, yeah.
It's got all the things I need. I don't have 11 ribbons up top that I have to choose from for...
I'm with you.
A zillion icons on each one.
Word has become bloatware to me.
Yeah.
And Google Docs is fine for what I do for most part. So, anyway, there you go. WordStar 4.0 is what's bringing you... the grand finale of the world of Westeros. Jeez. I don't know. There's something quaint about it. I like it. And I like that he's kind of to himself. I like that he doesn't love the spotlight. I like that he, you know, despite the fact that he's one of the biggest and most important authors in the world right now.
Yeah.
Is but, just a okay. dude, you know.
But this thing is, so he even says right now it's not connected to the internet. So obviously none of this stuff is getting saved in the cloud.
No.
So
no.
George R. R. Martin has probably... maybe a backup going on in his house, and that's it.
Yeah. And keep in mind, Brian, on a floppy disk, most likely, and probably a 5 1/4 inch one.
Right.
Think of the storage options for something that would run WordStar 4.0 on an old DOS machine.
I wonder if you could fit a Game of Thrones book on a single 5 1/4 inch floppy.
I don't know. I mean, what were those? Those maxed out at 1.2 meg?
I think so, yeah.
I think.
Sounds right.
Oh, my gosh. I was just looking at this picture yesterday of the little micro SD storage cards. Mm-hmm. In 2005, exact same size, 2005, they held 128 megabytes. Today, they'll hold up to 128 gigabytes.
Jeez.
2005 is all.
And that's the little micro SD cards.
Yeah. I mean, look at us. Look at the humans. Go, man. Look at us. Look at us invent and iterate. Justin Bieber in the news.
Okay.
He uses an old DOS machine for all his porn.
he writes all of his music with a Bic pen and a Hello Kitty notepad.
That would be great. Justin Bieber accused of attempted robbery of a cell phone. This is just in. Breaking news. Okay. In this week's episode of Justin Bieber's Brush with the Law, the pop singer has been accused of attempted robbery, police said. It sounds worse than it may be. The alleged incident is apparently over a cell phone. Well, that's still robbery. What do you mean it's worse than it is?
Yeah.
That's still stealing something.
Cell phone.
Yeah. CNN, what are you doing? Los Angeles Police Department robbery detectives were investigating a report of an alleged robbery Monday night between an individual and Mr. Bieber near the batting cages. The baiting cages. this is in LA.
No way, baiting.
I'm over here baiting. You know what? Here's my advice. If you walk past a guy in a bush who says, "Get away, I'm baiting." I would get away. Get the hell away.
Yeah.
A police statement said on Wednesday, the case remains under investigation with detectives conducting numerous interviews. Source close to Bieber and is familiar with the situation played down the incident. It's probably nothing. This is one of those things that's probably getting blown out. But
because it's Justin Bieber, it has to get kind of blown out of proportion.
If I was him, I'd just quit being such a wiener. Enjoy your money, your success, your fun, your life. And
trouble isn't going to always follow you and make you the victim of circumstance, right. Justin. You bring a lot of this stuff on yourself.
Yeah, you just do, dude. Yeah. You can only have too many of these things come up where you can blame society or your fan base or your 50 million Twitter
your
followers.
Beliebers.
Yeah, your beliebers. And then a small side note, speaking of the Game of Thrones, you're familiar with it.
Yeah, heard of it.
Lily Allen revealed she turned down a Game of Thrones role. Her brother Alfie is on the show, right?
It's Theon, yeah.
Theon Greyjoy. And right. she turned down the role.
I should say.
She turned down the role to play his actual sister, Yara, the warrior sister, Yara.
Wow.
She turned down the role due to uncomfortable first scene.
Yeah, yes, sure.
Between the pair, which saw Theon attempting to seduce the sister he hadn't seen in years on a horse. So
and grope her while she's trying to drive the horse.
Yeah, that's better. We're better for it, probably, that didn't actually have to be your sister.
I think so, yeah. I think the actress who they got for Yara is really, really good.
I like her.
Especially in this most recent episode.
Oh, I got to catch up. We're behind two episodes. Yeah.
Yep.
I will. I like her a lot. She's good.
She is good.
I like how plain she is. I don't mean that in a negative way. There's just something.
And Yara and Lily Allen is really, really cute. And it'd be a little bit distracting to, you know.
And that first scene would have been disturbing. And you kind of need that first scene to establish Greyjoy for the douche he is. So
right, exactly.
I feel like it's probably the best choice for everybody. That's it for that. TweakedAudio.com sponsoring this portion of the show. Where you want compatibility, they got you covered. You want some noise reduction? How about that? How about blocking the world out and falling asleep with your headphones on your head during the night, like I did? Why don't you want to do that? Well, why don't you want to do that cheaper is the bigger question. 33% off the code STREAM at checkout at TweakedAudio.com. That's TweakedAudio.com and the code STREAM. Let's take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. Therapy Thursday, talking about relationships today.
Ooh,
it's going to be a good one. Before all that music, go.
All right. This one going out to Ashley. Short and sweet. My birthday is Thursday, May 15th. I'm turning the big 3-0, and I'd love it if you'd play Ed Guy's cover of Rock Me Amadeus from their new album, Space Police. Oh. That's it. That's the extent of that email.
Wow.
So let's do that. Let's get right to it. It is from the brand new album, Space Police, Defenders of the Crown. It's a cover of Falco's Rock Me Amadeus, and it's by Ed Guy.
Well, that sounds great. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Der großen Stadt, es war in Wien, war Vienna, wo er alles tat. Er hatte Schuppen, denn er trank, doch in Wien, arme Frauen. Und jeder rief, er gab ein Rocken, aber der Rest war ein Superstar. Er war populär, er war so exaltiert, because er hatte Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rocky-Idol. Und alles rief, er gab ein Rocken, Amadeus.
Amadeus, 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 Amadeus. Oh, 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 Amadeus. Amadeus, 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 oh, 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 Amadeus.
Es war 1780 und es war in Wien. No plastic money anymore, die Banken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war wohl jeder Mann bekannt.
Er war ein Mann der Frauen liebt in seinen Punk.
Er war Superstar, er war ein Punk. Er war zu exaltiert, genau das war sein Fleck. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rocky-Idol. Und dann ist er doch heute kaputt, doch wie
Amadeus. Amadeus, 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 oh, 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 Amadeus. Amadeus, 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 oh, 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 Amadeus.
I
drink is good for you, then why can't I ever have one too?
Now, a girl we knew was called Sulky Sue, cause she balked at breakfast, perhaps like you. She'd sit and stare, didn't seem to care. At school, her marks were only fair. But her teacher knew how to interest Sue and told Sue's mom just what to do.
Ovaltine. Ovaltine. Get Ovaltine. That's what to do.
Yes, a hot drink like Ovaltine, along with breakfast, acts as a spark plug for the day. Now that Sue has been on Ovaltine, breakfast is a different scene. At school, her marks are higher, too, and she skips rope like a kangaroo.
Hot Ovaltine, that's the way to start the day.
Meanwhile, back at the morning stream, Scott's probably talking about wieners.
Many Bothans died to bring you this information. This is the morning stream.
And we're back. Thank you, Todd, for that. That was Todd Whitehead right there.
Mm-hmm. Gnomewise.
Yeah, Gnomewise.
The famous.
Yeah, we'll see him at Nerdtacular. I heard your heard your Snapchat going off during the show.
Jeez, sorry about that.
That's all right.
I just muted my phone. Yeah, got one from Daryl showing the answers to all of our future biological, real biological molecule or Star Trek biological molecule.
Oh.
But it was only half a second long, so it's like you see the spreadsheet long enough to go, what's that? Oh, that, oh yeah. God.
And it's backwards, too.
Yeah, upside down, yeah.
So Cleo sent me another, she sent a video. Let's see what this is. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
God, I'm out of coffee.
She's out of coffee.
Her mug, her little heart mug is out of coffee.
That's awesome. Ice Worm sent something. Let's take a look. Oh, it's snowing. Is it snowing where you live again?
Not here.
Oh, geez. All right. I don't want to hear my poor friends in Colorado.
Actually, much nicer now than it has been the last few days.
Well, on that note, time for windy time.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on.
God, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Time for windy.
Okay.
All right.
All right. She's ringing. It's always a little longer ring for her for some reason.
Yeah. She's got to stop picking weeds in the backyard.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, the weather's to the point you could do that more. We were just talking about how you're probably out picking weeds like you used to do. Remember that?
I know. I used to be really productive during these calls. And now I'm like, meh, hey, guys.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here doing nothing.
I used to be nervous, so I would pick weeds. Now I'm not nervous.
That's all
you
right.
You know, you're super productive during these calls because you're helping people.
That's true.
Wendy's,
but I'm usually laying down in my pajamas.
Wendy's weed production needs some help. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, my weed.
Well, here we are to talk to Wendy, everybody. Wendy Dunford. She's my sister, for full disclosure. She's also a therapist. She helps people with real problems every day. And on Thursday, she helps you with yours. She'll also soon be helping you with a lot more when the therapy show launches sometime early in June. So watch for that, because you guys helped fund us, and it was rad.
You still rad.
Yeah, you can still contribute if you want. I mean, if you go to tiny.cc/therapy show, there's still time on the clock. We funded early and we got some extra stuff to do, so go check it out.
Are you ready for the cutest story about that really quick?
I am, totally.
So I talk about Abe a little bit on the show because he is...
Abraham, my nephew.
He is one of your people.
Yes.
And anytime he does things that are like super sensitive, I'm like, oh, I'm raising my brother.
Yeah, it's basically me. It is me as a kid.
Yeah.
I admit it.
He's a little better at baseball than you are. I'm just going to say that, though.
Well, hey, now. How was all right?
I'm just kidding. Like, I know.
T-ball I was bad at, but that's a different story.
Because T-ball, I mean, you just have to hit it off a stick.
That was like alien baseball. It was like some kind of Star Trek version of baseball. It was so stupid.
It's anyway, lame. Anyway, so he was asking me about the therapy show, and I was telling him how Indiegogo works, and we looked it up, and we were looking at the numbers, and it ended in an 8, and I was like, $8? That's weird. Is that like an option? Mm-hmm. So we went through each of the people who've contributed, and we were just like, that's so nice, and just kind of, oh, I can't believe people are paying for this, and like, you know, we're just kind of talking about it, you know, because he's interested, and we get to one that has a $1 donation, and one is a $2 donation, and he goes, well, why would they do that? And I said, oh, I don't know. Maybe they don't have a lot to give, and that's just their way of, you know, supporting or whatever. I think that's really cool. So that's all I say.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. And we kind of go through. Anyway, he leaves the room, comes back 45 minutes later.
He's 7, by the way, everybody.
He's 8.
He's 8. Yeah.
cry. Like, I can tell he's been crying. And I'm like, hey, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I just want to talk about it. I'm like, okay. So, you know, a little while later, I'm like, hey, really, did you go read something? Like, why would you be fine and then leave and you're crying now, you know?
Yeah.
He's just in his room reading or something. So I finally have to drag it out of him. But he just was overwhelmed with sadness for someone who could only afford a dollar.
Oh my gosh, this is so Abe.
Sweet. And he was like, and I went and I said a prayer for them.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was so sweet. And he goes, not that they would have money, but just that they would be okay and they'd get what they needed. I mean, he just feels it so deeply.
Yeah, he
and
does.
I was like,
and when he's 15, because he established this whole story, when he's 15, tell him that person that spent a dollar was just cheap. Tell him that. And everything will be fine.
And you wasted your
Because who knows? But yeah, he's a compassionate little guy.
It was cute. Oh. Anyway.
Well,
so,
all right. So, dollar giver, I hope you're all right.
Your dollar giver, you just got an 8-year-old worried about you.
Yeah, I got an 8-year-old who's completely stressed about who you are and what's going on. Well, that's good. So, yeah, go do that, folks. Dollar's fine, by the way. You guys can do whatever
we'll
you
take
want.
It.
We'll take whatever you got. All right, let's get to this week's question. It's about relationships. And, you know, it's kind of refreshing because this one isn't about a divorce. This one isn't about, you know, a porn addiction or a, you know, a million other kind of issues we run into on this segment. This one's kind of got a real, I don't know, it's kind of old timey in a way.
Yeah.
And it's a nice switch, but it's also, you know, stuff people deal with or whatever. So we're going to talk
about it. So use wackadoodle when you read it.
I will use wackadoodle. It's in here. Yeah. This comes to us from somebody we'll refer to as D. I don't know if he wanted me to use his real name, but he says, I'm not sure if you've talked about this before, but my question is about the idea, and I hate this term, the friend zone. All right, the friend zone. I'm a 22-year-old guy. I am a 22-year-old guy. Sounds like a spam message on your email if I don't read it right. And I have strong romantic feelings for the girl who's been my best friend for the last 5 years of college. I don't like saying in love, but it certainly feels applicable from my limited experience. I mentioned my feelings to her a couple of years ago, and nothing came of it. Luckily, we're still friends, but I don't want to revisit that extremely awkward situation by talking to her about it again. She has a boyfriend since high school, or has had one. I know him, and he's a nice guy, but I think she can do better. Unfortunately, she doesn't return my feelings. I have had other experiences with girls over the past few years, and I always end up coming back to my feelings for her. I'm graduating in about a week, and I'm staying in the same town for work, and I'll see her around. So here's the question. It's uncomfortable to be around her knowing she doesn't feel the same way about me that I feel about her, yet at the same time, she's one of my best friends, and I'm loath to lose her or lose that. Do I talk it out or walk away? Thanks, Wendy, for your input, and Scott and Brian for somehow always bringing a smile to my face at the most most inappropriate times. Love the snoo-snoo, wackadoodle-D, we'll call him. Had to fit it in at the end.
Dandy.
So it's, you know, and it's a nice guy who's just feeling these feelings. I mean, I'm getting this kind of raw kind of innocence out of this that I miss in life. Mm-hmm. Like, this reminds me of like your first crush or something, or a girl you always thought you'd end up with. I had one of these in junior high, and I was sure that one day, you know, it would all work out, but it didn't. But this is a guy, and you know, he's in his 20s, and these are the times when people do start kind of finding that person and stuff. So what do you do for a guy like this?
Well, I mean, I was thinking as I read it, I was thinking about all of the Hollywood adaptations of this concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a pretty common experience to have strong feelings for someone who you are a friend. You know, he used the term friend zone. They don't see you as something more than that, but they really care about you, and you're having all sorts of feelings on your side. And then, you know, the song that ends up like, and then I realize you were there all the time, and now I love you, you know?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Like, there's some really simple endings to that. I don't know how often that is actually the case.
Yeah, lots of movies and songs, and, you know, they play on this idea that you stuck with it, and it all worked out in the end, and she, you know, she's the Jenny in the story, in the Forrest Gump story, really.
Right, yeah. Right. And so you see that, you know, she finally sees that you're the guy, right? Well, it sounds like, you know, he would love that. That'd be awesome if that happened.
Maybe he just needs to say at a doorway, go, I know what love is, Jenny.
Right.
Or stand outside with a boombox playing in your
totally.
Eyes.
Totally. I mean, there's another one. And then the other one I thought of was Love Actually, where, you know, he's filming his best friend's wedding, and you're sort of wondering if he's gay the whole time. And someone asks him, like, does he know, you know, does your friend know you're in love with him? And mm-hmm. he's like, what? Turns out he's in love with his friend's wife. Oh. And always had been. And so his way of handling it was being a jerk, right? And yeah. then at the end, he has this, he sort of tells her for closure, mm-hmm. and then he's done with it. So I thought of that for some reason. And I think it's because what he's asking us is, I need something. I need closure, mm-hmm. or I need progress. And it sort of sounds like progress is maybe not happening. But then you don't want to lose this friend, right? He also says something interesting. He's like, I think, you know, it's the closest thing to love I think I'm experiencing. Mm. And here's the thing. There's, you know, lots of variations on what being in love means. And we have, as a society, sort of, we're kind of confused by this. Because, yeah. you know, the pheromone-based dopamine high of being in love is definitely what gets people together and is helpful. But long-term sustaining of that doesn't exist. Our brains don't allow it. So we have to, you know, develop some other version of love. And you hear people all the time like, I just don't love him anymore. I love him, but I'm not in love with him.
Yeah, I hate that phrase. Ugh.
So common. And that's because the without my consent love is what they're talking about. It just happens. I can't help it. And that's a really immature initial love. And then mature love is a very different thing down the road, which is what this emailer is not asking about. But what he's saying is, wow, this feels like love. Well, yeah, a one-way street. And what love really feels like is when both of you are amazingly feeling it, which is kind of a miracle if you think about it.
Right.
When that ever does happen. But he, you know, he obviously cares a lot about her and would love to pursue a relationship with her. But 5 years... And I don't know, maybe he hasn't hinted enough. Maybe he hasn't made this obvious enough. I don't know. He might think, I told her how I felt and nothing happened. Did he really? you know?
Yeah.
Did he really lay it on the line? And, you know, most people sort of don't stay best friends after that. So it makes me wonder, does she really know how you feel?
It's weird because I can only speak from my own experience, but I'm not trying to toot a horn here, everybody. Okay. So this isn't me trying to be cocky about this, but Kim and I always have kind of retained both sides of this, the kind of committed, the kind of quote unquote love that is back each other up forever. Don't ever, you know, betray the other one. Don't, you know, always play like a team, you know, that kind of the hard one. Mm-hmm. We do that really well, but also we've really retained that romantic pheromone-based, you know, let's go hang out tonight. Let's go see a movie.
Start getting your angry emails together, folks.
Well, you know what I mean. Sometimes people get irritated by it, but I don't mean it to be that way. I just mean that, and I'm as surprised as anybody, trust me, that I worked that out somehow, or that I'm even capable of holding up my end of it. But I just feel like it's... both are still there. Isn't that possible that both can retain and stay?
And that, I mean, we're going to use you as the paragon of what it's supposed to be.
All right.
Which is, paragon. And you used a key word, which was work. And what people often think is like somehow this is, you know, you fall in love and we get married or we commit to each other or whatever. And then, you know, with time and things just change. Well, the you at 21 and the you at 43 are different people.
Yeah.
But you have to, along the way, continue to reconnect, continue to work at it. And sort of whatever was initially there, you keep nurturing. And then you can have both. You have to have the stronger, longer kind to stay together, right? But it really has to be peppered with that other part. Or you know, or you're just kind of buddies, right?
Yeah.
Which there's plenty of people that do that. They stay together, you know, they really deeply care about each other, but there's not a lot of the romance left. And I, you know, it comes from continuing to date, continuing to do new things together, mm-hmm. You know, sort of never letting a problem become too big or a rift too wide. It's sort of reconnecting every time you disconnect, making sure that happens, right? So yes, very possible. This guy's deal though is that, you know, he's, going, how do I get her to pay attention to me? And if it's not going to happen, I guess, how do I cut the strings here? And move on. And I think what's really important there is that if those feelings are not resolved, meaning she says, no, really, there's nothing that's going to happen. Or, you know, he's going to perpetually have her as a perfect partner in his head. Because there is no real romantic relationship to compare other romantic relationships. It's a fantasy of what it would be like with her. Those feelings are there and he's crushing on her and all the, you know, there's all the good stuff that would lead to maybe a really great relationship, but there's no reality testing. So any relationship he goes into, he's got this fantasy girl who is also his awesome best friend.
Well, how much of it is because she's so unattainable in this way, like she's right there, but may as well be a billion miles away kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much of that, you know, I mean, her hard to getness is maybe what he's at some point. Isn't that a huge part of the attraction? Like,
the
unattainable must be attainable kind of thing. And that's driving him. If she was just, that sounds great. I'm going to call my other boyfriend and tell him go away. And now we're together. Does he at some point go, oh, I had this built up bigger? Or, you know, I don't know. I feel like those are risks.
Or he could just be like, sweet, this is the dream of my dreams, right? And it might be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's young enough that this is not, he's not in super baggage land, you know?
Right.
He hasn't, if he were, you know, 47 writing this, and be like, well, we had another story. And so, you know, this is not an abnormal developmentally appropriate. I mean, this is fine. It's just hard. But this is where this becomes a problem. I always tell people, like, you got to at least have a decade under your belt before you realize, oh, my gosh, I have patterns. And when you were 12, you weren't having patterns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 32, you can look back and go, at 22, I started this pattern where I'm hanging out with a girl and we're best friends and I have feelings and she doesn't. And I've done that 7 times since, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so not that everyone needs to look at their lives as 22-year-olds and go, I will stop this pattern right now. Because maybe it's not a pattern. It might be a fluke. But what about this keeps him stuck? 5 years is a good amount of time to sort of be pining over somebody, right?
Seems
so
the
question then becomes, how does he find some closure? So watch Love Actually and do what he did.
Yeah. A bunch of signs. First one says, shh, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Tell him it's a caroler or whatever.
Right.
some way of like being able to walk away where you know it's clear how you felt, that this is not later you go, well, maybe she never knew how I really felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like make it clear, but also with the idea that she is this, there's a likelihood she's going to say, oh, right. I didn't realize you still felt that way. Mm-hmm. I thought it went away or I don't know what she's thinking.
Yeah.
But she also doesn't want to lose you as a friend. And so she's playing she might be fully clueless about this, but she also might be playing just enough of a game that she just doesn't realize she's hurting you, but she wants you around. And so, you know, just a really honest conversation. So he asked the question at the end of the email, do I talk about it or walk away? Well, if you've met me for more than 2 minutes, the answer is talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I always tell people they got to talk about it. But if he chose to walk away because it was too painful or he just didn't want to risk that, you know, he just needs to be very clear that if he wants this to haunt him for a while or continue to sabotage other relationships, because it's fantasy relationships have a sort of a power to do that, to kind of hijack future relationships.
Yeah.
And so, you know, both of you, I can say, tell me the girl you were in love with in junior high. And you can still, even today, think about that person and kind of, and not that you're, oh, I'm going to call them. I love them.
I got to find her on Facebook now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is the problem most people have is they think it's more than what it is. And what it is just initial relationships have so, it's like they create new neural networks in your brain because it's the first time, right?
Yeah.
And so they're really pretty powerful and they're supposed to be cute and have a memory that's lovely, right? The problem is maybe you got really hurt. Maybe there's a lot more damage that happened within that relationship or the rejection. The story was so big around it, like, well, I will never love again. I don't know. That it can still be pretty painful. But you have to sort of check, does this sabotage other relationships or not? And that's why, you know, when Facebook first came out, it's interesting. In my practice, I found tons of people hooking up with old flings on Facebook. That was a real common thing. And it's,
you think that slowed some since?
Not at all anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I
it's
think
moved it, on to Friendster.
Yeah, back to Friendster, I guess.
they're figuring out other methods, I guess. I think what it was is like, you know, they're in midlife, they're living their life, doing their thing, bored, whatever, and then suddenly this thing appears in their life that can help them reconnect with someone. And Facebook also has that element of like, you know, if I took all your pictures from junior high, both of you, which would be so awesome.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. And I'm wearing the same jacket in all of them, by the way.
And then I put the perfect music to it and, you know, maybe made it, funkified it like it was a cool iPhone video. And you would go, oh, my gosh, junior high was awesome.
Yeah.
I could trick you into thinking that that felt different. Potentially, right? Unless it was so bad you really
well because you're playing on that. This new book I'm reading is talks a lot about nostalgia and what it actually is and how it works and how you can tweak it, and
you can
fool yourself into thinking a lot of things were better back then.
Oh, absolutely.
And so
you take that dynamic. He's having it right now, like he is in a fantasy relationship with someone. He's in love with someone who is not interested in him. And so it is by nature a fantasy, right?
Yeah.
So the key is to get out of the fantasy, and that is either to tell her, hey, this is literally everything. This is, there's no way I'm walking away thinking you're confused, because I'm very clear about this and very honest. That takes extreme amount of bravery.
Yeah.
Because she could reject you so hard. She could also continue to friend zone you and then let you think there's a little bit of hope. Right.
Yeah.
Is the movie where they said, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. What is that one? Come on, Brian. Trivia
it's
here.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. No.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's like a one in quadrillion chance. Oh, like,
right. That's the one.
Exactly. Chance. What that if I was the last skin man on earth? Well, then, okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Because I always quote it. I'm like, I don't even know where that's from. Yeah. But you're saying there's a chance. So there's, and clearly it does something for her to keep him in that role, right? So when anyone says, oh, I've been shoved in the friend zone, and it's a new relationship, well, then that should be clear, right?
Yeah.
But when it's an old relationship, there's, you know, there's a lot more tied to it. So maybe he's, you know, I can see why he doesn't want to risk this. But if being with her is too painful as a friend, then you got to do something else. You just don't want to create some monster down the road, like hoping she'll suddenly realize you're great and come back, and then not fully be present in your other relationships.
Well, plus you've built it up now to the point that the worry I would have is that he's going to have these expectations that just could not possibly be met. Even if she has a turnaround and says, yeah, you've been here for me for 5 years, so I'm going to now acquiesce and be this lady you've wanted me to be all this time. And then can she possibly live up to this thing he's built up? Does this sentence concern you at all, though, that he says he's dating another guy? He seems like a nice guy, but I think she can do better. Does that say something about where he sees himself in all this? Or is that kind of I don't want to use the word arrogance, not the word, but he obviously says, well, I'm better than that guy and she deserves me. Is there something going on here where he is thinking a little too highly of himself? It's just throwing it out there. It stuck out to me, or that
you always, you know, you can see the flaws in someone who because you're trying to prove, you know, she's really with the wrong guy. She should be with me. So you're looking at his flaws, and you're not looking at hers, right? You're not saying, oh. And I may have seen a Taylor Swift video at one point
in your life.
I have no idea. I can't tell you the song, but there is something that's in my head about this where she's like the neighbor to a kid and he's dating a cheerleader.
Oh.
And she's a nerd.
It's the you belong to me or you yes, should be with one. Me or something like that.
Yeah. So again, it's like she's terrible and you're not happy with her and look how natural and easy this is. That's at least my memory of that video. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about sort of relegating the other person to they're not good enough or you could do better or whatever. I mean, she's been with this guy for 5 years.
Yeah.
And it could be he's abusive and terrible. That's a thing.
Sure.
And you could be like, wow, I really would treat you better than that. And that's one thing, but it's also maybe she may be really into this other guy and they've had a pretty long committed relationship. Who knows? He doesn't give us enough details, but it's natural to sort of see them as the enemy because that's just competition, even though the guy is nice. And he's pretending to be friendly for these 5 years too, right? Like, hey guys, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like torture. I mean, for him, I would love for him to walk away. Because I think 5 years is plenty of time.
That should be, right?
Plenty of time. Yeah. And you're 22. Like, you haven't wasted your life yet, right? You've got, you know, there's plenty more to do. But I think there has to be some type of sort of moment that he can rely on as closure. And I can move forward. And I've said my piece. And she's still not interested. I need to believe her.
Yeah.
Because what is that? You don't believe her?
Yeah. There's always a point where he's probably going to just feel like it's the worst thing ever. If he talks to her and says, look, I just need to know, and let's make this final whatever. And she says, you know, I don't feel that way. I want to be your friend forever, but I don't want to ever be your girlfriend or whatever. Let's say that that's her answer. Yeah. It's going to feel like that's the worst thing ever. And that it's never going to go away and that it's going to hurt for a long time. Not unlike, you know, grief when somebody dies or something like that. To me, sometimes what I think stops guys from making that conversation or having that conversation is that just raw freaking fear that pain will never go away. Even if to others it may seem trivial, to him it seems real raw and bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It takes, you know, everybody's got their own threshold for that, I guess. But I know what that's like. That's a real dread. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Having that conversation.
Oh. And that's the risk. And that's what he's calculating. He's like, I have to be okay with that happening. Or I have to keep suffering every day. And it sounds like he's sort of come to a moment of like, I don't want to do either of these things anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so do I walk away? Do I confront the situation? You know the book, She's Just Not, or He's Just Not That Into You?
Yeah, it's a movie too, isn't it?
It's a movie. I haven't seen the movie, but the concept anyway is like, you know, I think we romanticize human behavior a little bit, which is, you know, we hope, and it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, it's on TV, so it must happen sometimes, right? It's definitely a desire. There's, you know, the storyline is constantly there. I have a neighbor right now who's been divorced for about a year now and just started dating a guy she knew in high school.
Oh, weird.
Who didn't, you know, they kind of never meshed then and they're meshing really well now. And so, you know, you're like, oh, it kind of can happen, I guess, you know, whatever. But so it's not like this is impossible. But you got, you know, college is almost over, it sounds like. And that's really the best time to be building relationships and dating, and because you're surrounded by people. I don't know, maybe the next couple of years are also that way, but you have to work a little harder to socialize if you're working full time and, you know, need to go to bed by 10:30. There's sort of a different world outside of college, and college is why a lot of people meet during that time. So I just think, you know, maybe he's feeling the time crunch too, and like, what are we doing? But he's got to face the reality. Again, I go back to this sort of fantasy element that we all get stuck in, right?
Yeah.
This is why some more
than others, though, is the problem.
Anyone's disappointed is because they've fantasized about what they expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this vacation's going to be the greatest. I mean, we know that we're terrible predictors of future happiness. We know that we enjoy planning a vacation more than we like being on a vacation. Like, we're pretty predictable in this way. And so he may think not being her friend is the worst thing to happen, because he doesn't know what that outcome looks like, but he's perceiving it as it will be awful. I can't live without her.
He's catastrophizing.
Yeah.
Like totally. We talk about then, all the time. Yeah.
Which also is, if I tell her how I really feel, he's catastrophizing then. Right. So there's gotta be, and you know, he'll get there. Maybe this Therapy Thursday will be the motivating moment where he goes, you're right. I've got to do something.
Yeah.
But really, you know, she marries the guy. Do we continue to do this? You know, what is the line? And maybe 5 years of your life might be the line. So pick one or the other option and then fully commit to it without letting the other option haunt you. So you might do both, you know?
Yeah.
You might tell her and then walk away.
It could be. Hopefully he does that. He goes, yep, you're right. But he may just say, F that noise, pound sand, and not do it. I hope he does the former, not the latter. Because I just think closure is what you need right now. And the closure may be the one you want and it may not. But either way, you need it.
Right.
So, yeah, good luck with it. Sounds like.
Yeah, 10 more years of this, it will fly by. Yeah. I mean, it does. That's the scary thing.
Yeah, that's the. Oh, my gosh. Don't even remind me. The next six. Hey, the next 6 weeks, Brian, close your ears. The next 6 weeks are going to fly by because Nerdtacular's in 6 weeks. Okay, so
does
there
Brian not know about Nerdtacular?
No, he knows. I just he doesn't like to be reminded about how little time we have because he has a lot to do, and we all do. But it's just, it's starting to become real. You know, it's real.
Yeah.
Do you know if you're coming by that weekend?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Are you bringing donuts and Clamato?
I am bringing not Clamato because that's the sickest stuff I've ever had. I will bring donuts.
All right.
And I don't know.
All right, you sit up there maybe with us. We're doing that on Friday this time, so we'll. I don't know how that's going to work yet, but I'll fill you in on what's going on.
Yeah, that'd be.
Watch for the therapy show soon, Wendy. Any other causes people should engage in?
In their present moment lives. That's it. And I'll tell you,
engage in the present.
Before I move to Sweden, every week I'm going to say the same thing.
Yeah, engage right now.
I vowed to Adam. I said, I will say no to everything else. I promise. He's like, your full-time job is to get us to Sweden.
Yeah,
like,
to be ready to go. It's going to be, I don't know how you're going to, when's the date? When do you do it?
Like the first week of August.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and anyone in Sweden who is listening, please contact me. I need help.
Yeah, she needs help. And there's lots of them.
You have to have a Swedish number and before you can do anything. And we have to get to the country to get the number.
You mean number like phone number?
Like a number. It's like a social security number.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And, but even when you're visiting, like you get a number. And then housing is crazy there. Where do you people live? I know there's not homelessness in Sweden, but I would like to know where all the other people are because it's so hard to find places to live there. It's crazy.
Really? I can't imagine. What a weird adventure you're about to embark on.
We're going
to
live around beautiful people, homeless. I don't know what we're going to do.
There will be white people everywhere. Blonde white people.
It's going to be awesome.
Wonderful. Well, yes, the distinct, you're going to be jumping into a big diversity, and then there will be none within it. So, like, it's a diverse group with no diversity. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm like, kids, I can't wait for you to feel like you look like everyone there.
Yeah, exactly. they're as white as us, children.
But they speak another language, so they're way cooler.
Cooler.
Just learn another language.
Cleo in the chat room suggests that you contact her on Facebook, Wendy, because she has a good friend who's a native there.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. We'll hook you up. I'll get you emails, actually. I'll exchange you guys up.
Cleo who?
her real name's Carrie, but I'll get you guys hooked up.
Yeah, please. I work Facebook like a grandma works a computer.
I know. You're real bad. She's no good with the Facebook. And also, I was going to say something else. Oh, and you can maybe you'll find some of that laundered Hitler money while you're there. It'll be stashed someplace.
Totally. Yeah. So I'm compiling also, this would be great if I could get some help with this. I am compiling a list of everything awesome that's come out of Sweden. And Minecraft, thank you very much.
Yeah. You can meet Marcus Preston himself. You can meet Notch and hang out with him and send Nick pictures and he would die for that.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
And, you know, IKEA meatballs, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right.
So I got a running list. Jam. Anyone wants to suggest some things?
Yeah, no one has but nothing but the highest quality words to say about IKEA and their place in our culture today. I'm sure that that's true. Well, that's great. All that's exciting. We will look forward to that happening, I suppose. And we'll figure out what it means for TMS. We think it just means it's night instead of morning when you be on.
I think it just means my kids are eating dinner and yelling in the background.
Yeah, Skype still works. In fact, the internet in Sweden, that's one thing I can say about Sweden. It's incredible, their internet infrastructure.
Well, the other thing, I mean, there's like 12 million people there and you know, they came out with ABBA. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, they can't won. Brian, remind me, though. They won, like, didn't they win, like, their version of, like, a...
The Eurovision contest?
Yeah, Eurovision. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a thing, too. Yeah, you're going to see some...
You guys should visit, because that museum is unreal.
Which one? The ABBA Museum?
The ABBA Museum.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's
Brian, you would love it. You get to record your stuff.
Sure. You kidding me?
Incredible.
Yeah, you'd be in heaven over there.
Does TMS pay for that?
No.
Well, it will if we get a high enough Patreon.
Yeah, we get our Patreon a little higher than maybe. So patreon.com/TMS, everybody.
Yeah.
Go support
it. These guys to go to Sweden.
That'd be great. Fantastic. Wendy, have a great night, day, thing, whatever, and we'll talk real soon.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay. Good one today.
Very good, yeah.
It's nice to talk about something that's kind of sweet.
I think that's probably has spoken to the most wide group of people
mm-hmm.
who've all shared that same issue, you know?
Completely agree. It's kind of a universal thing. Everybody's gone through that kind of heartache for sure. And all that. If they haven't, then they're dead to me. Brian, let's do emails real quick. Got a few of them real fast, and they are brought to us by...
Have you visited the mountains of madness and wish to share the insanity with your children? Has your child awakened you in the night, speaking of dreams that involved a bat-winged, tentacled-faced behemoth? If not, then you definitely need to begin educating them on the Cthulhu mythos so they are prepared. Artist Kenan James has begun a Kickstarter to fund his new children's book, Cthulhu ABCs.
That's awesome.
The book will contain each letter painstakingly detailed and inspired by the works of H.P. Lovecraft. Visit tiny.cc/Cthulhu ABC by May 29th for more details and to back this project. That is tiny.cc/Cthulhu ABC.
Cthulhu, for those not in the know, C-T-H-U-L-H-U.
Right.
That's how you spell it. Just in case. You can Google it.
Just
but
in case, yeah.
That sounds awesome. Spirini. People should totally back that.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna quickly look and see if some art's up on that thing. I forgot to look for the show because that's way cool. Oh, yeah. And they've funded. You can keep backing it, though. Oh, look how fun this is. That artwork's insane.
Really? Oh, cool.
Oh, man. That's so cool, dude. We're excited for your project. That's awesome. Sydney from Australia. No, I'm sorry. Phil in Sydney, in Australia. His name is Phil. Wrote
Sydney,
in and says, hey, Turner and Hooch. I'm going to say you're Turner. I'm probably Hooch. I'm the dog.
You're the dog? All right.
You're Tom Hanks. Going, Money Pit. Or what is he? No, that was Jerry Seinfeld yelling Money Pit. Don't ignore me.
Well, he was in a movie called Money Pit.
He was.
Shelley Long.
That's right. Where the house just kept falling apart. It was fantastic. Yep. You were mentioning needing a movie for Live Film Sack that was visually campy, but not Rocky Horror. And it's too ironic. So we're not going to, this gives me an opportunity to mention, we have picked a Film Sack movie. It is going to be Maximum Overdrive, the 80s Stephen King, all the cars have come to life and they're going to kill us movie.
Awesome.
With Emilio Estevez and others. It's fantastic and perfect sackable material. So we have picked one, but this is a great suggestion for a follow-up or one that we should do generally. The mm-hmm. forgotten follow-up / sequel to Rocky Horror, Shock Treatment.
Right.
I reckon it fits the bill perfectly. There's no streaming that I could find on it. But,
bummer.
Yeah, seems like it could be
good. The guy who plays Riff Raff in Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I can't remember his name, but he's basically the brains, the writer behind Rocky Horror Picture Show and Shock Treatment.
He's the bald, kind of crazy-looking dude.
Yep. That's the guy,
Okay.
And I'm sure before I even finish this sentence, somebody in the tadpool is going to post his name. But, he was kind of hoping that he'd see the same reaction to Shock Treatment that he did for Rocky Horror, and it just never took off way that Rocky Horror did.
Yeah. No. His name, by the way, is Jim Sharman. Or is it
Richard O'Brien.
It's not Jim Sharman?
It is not Jim Sharman. It's Richard O'Brien.
Oh, you're right. Richard O'Brien. There he is, bald guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Cosmo something in this. Oh, he was in Dark City. That's
Richard
right.
Richard O'Brien was?
Yeah.
I believe
one of
it.
He's one of the dudes in suits. He is freaky.
Yeah, he looks like he would be one of the dudes in suits.
I have the director's cut of that. That is one of the finest things ever made. Oh, my gosh.
It's a very underappreciated
I'd say so.
Film, for sure.
Even the one with Kiefer Sutherland narration is still good, the theatrical, but I'm telling you that director's cut is something special. Mm-hmm. Real, real good. All right.
I think I've watched the director's cut. I need to. I have the
really
Blu-ray, so I know I've got it.
I'd say that's on par with like anytime Ridley Scott does a director's cut, they're always better. That's mm-hmm. a good example of that kind of thing. It's really
cool.
Good. It's not Ridley Scott, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Got an email here from... Oh, I didn't get a name. Dang it. I feel bad. No name on this one. Hello, this project is about... Oh, I know why. Okay, here it's because I wanted to just read you some spam I got.
Yeah, all right.
Hello, this project is about the exportation of 100,000 barrels of light crude oil daily out of Iraq to Turkey through my client's company in Iraq at the rate of $92 a barrel. This amounts to $9,200,000 daily. I ask you for your support as a foreigner to handle this business project with my client, and you are not expected to invest in Iraq. If yes, let me know, and we will discuss this project proper. Brian, do you think I should follow up and get TMS involved in some crude oil?
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Let's fund some of our funnel some of our Patreon money through this, because okay. It sounds like just a fantastic bargain.
I'm in. I mean,
you have a place to store it, right? You've got a place.
I do,
to
of course. All that oil every day, absolutely. No 100,000
barrels a day of crude oil.
I've totally got it. It's not a problem. I love this one because it had better English than usual. So
yeah.
In a weird way, I like it better. I am St. John Adams of the U.S. Army base. I found your contact detail in address journal. I am seeking your assistant.
Yeah, I love the ones that sound like they were made with a thesaurus, right?
To evacuate the sum of $25 billion.
Evacuate the sum.
$25 billion. Oh, that's awesome. So long as I am assured that it is safe in your care until I complete my service in Afghanistan. This is not stolen money, and there is no dangers. I count on your understanding. Please cut back me a personal email from Sergeant John Adams. Oh, geez. Doesn't even sound American.
No. John Adams.
And then Gmail has the nuts to ask, why is this message spam? I don't know. All right. We got here a final email from Rick with the hair, Booker and the Tadpole.
Okay.
He says, why not ask the listeners to try to convince you to start drinking? We have some really good arguments chambered. Of course, there is a risk we might actually break through to your inner Irish, but it's fun, like a reverse PSA.
The less you know, the less you remember.
So I got an email about this very thing. It was an email. I'm gonna share it with you. It wasn't anything weird or personal.
People convincing you to drink.
Yeah, let's see. I gotta find the email here real quick here. Okay, it is from. I can't find it now. I'm sorry. I thought I had it handy, and I don't seem to have it at all. All right. Well, anyway, somebody emailed me and say, hey, can I ask you why? He's just real curious. Why? He says he used to be a non-drinker. Now he has one. Why do you not drink? And here's the simple answer. I gave him like a four-point synopsis of why I don't drink. Number one. There's a history of alcoholism in my family. Not immediate family, but, you know, relatives. That kind of freaks me out. Number two, I can't do the smell. Just kills me. Can't do the smell. I know it's acquired taste, all that, whatever. And maybe eventually I'd figure it out. Oh, here it is right here. It finally came up. Okay. So I said, number one, family history of alcohol dependency. Number two, can't stand the smell, generally speaking. Number three, don't like the idea of being influenced by substances. Number four, gone this long, don't want to break the streak. So there you go. My four-step decision not to drink. There it is.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I harbor zero judgment or feelings toward anyone who does, though. I want to make that clear because some people take that as a judgment. I don't care. Everybody should drink all they want. It's not a problem. Doesn't affect me. You know me, man. Freedom is as freedom does.
I know what love is.
It's all right for you. It's just... my choice.
Yeah, you get to do what you want to do. I get to do what I want to do. And if you want to be, I don't know, let's say you want to be I better stop there.
It's a safe bet that I drink enough for both of us.
Yeah, you do all right.
Yeah,
just that Oktoberfest thing
alone. I
drink
moderately enough for both of us. How's that?
Yeah, you're the least of anyone's problems. Brian is a moderate. Brian's a moderate guy, but he's a moderate drinker. That's easy to see on the surface. Now, I've had some people in my life who are like, Scott, you really should try it. Come here.
Look how much fun I'm having.
Well, I'm having a blast. Bruh. You know, I grew up around some of that, not interested. Yeah. Okay, so here we go into the final part of the show, which is us saying goodbye, but not forever, because tonight, TMS PM, 5:30 PM Mountain Time. That's, what is that, 4:30 PM Pacific and 7:30 Eastern. Be here or be squeery, okay?
Cleo.
Oh, God. Shite.
Hold on.
That's just, you know, me trying to.
I like that weird.
Quietly thing. Nudge that in. By the way, did you play some Rimmed Scalpel?
I did. I have questions. So when she's done, I want to talk about those questions.
Cool.
Because I really do have a couple of questions. All right. Cleo, are you there?
No good story starts with a salad, Johnson. Have
that's,
a beer.
That's right. Here's a here's a theme for you, okay?
That's why you ladies should take the very best care of your hair, especially in shampooing.
There you go. That's just some advice. I don't know. Your hair's fine. I don't really have a problem with it, but I just throw that out there. Well,
I'll sleep better knowing that.
I don't really have a problem with it.
All right. Wait, this one instead then. Hold on. How about this lady one here? Here you go.
I will stay here until I have seen the young lady.
There you go. The young lady in question is Cleo. She's on the show to tell us how things got kind of summed up during the week. That's what she does on Thursdays, and we really enjoy it. And thank goodness Brian reminded me that I almost forgot. So there you go. Cleo, give it to us.
You called me young. Okay. Let's see. Scott, everybody wants to know if the guy from TMSPM that is your massive fan is the person who sent you nudes.
No, I don't think so. It was a lady. That's the other thing. I guess I didn't specify that earlier. It's a lady. It's not a dude. These photos, anyway. I don't know. Again, I can't confirm where the origin for sure or any of that. And they don't look, for the record, they don't look like they are taken of any other device or screen or magazine or anything. They look like the real deal, but they're ladies for sure. I can confirm that.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a little worried there because depending on the size of the individual, the boobs can be misleading.
Oh, I agree.
I just want to make sure you weren't heading down the wrong road.
I'll just say it out loud. It's the other bits that became the defining factor.
Oh,
Yeah. I know. Right. I know. It's all very disturbing that these things come to me at all. But yeah,
it's very distressing.
I don't think they know what I look like. I think that's part of the problem here. But anyway.
Okay, now on to something else entirely.
I don't mean my junk. I mean me. I mean me generally. Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Walk away, Scott.
Yeah, I'm walking away now.
Yeah. And when you were talking to Jerry about 90s and hairstyles, because the 90s had some awesome hairstyles, mm-hmm. Another Jay Martin said that Frosted Tips was his favorite 90s cereal.
Oh, hey. That sounds all right.
Nice. Yeah. A good one.
Big bowl of Frosted Tips. Mm. They're great.
Yummy. When you were talking about fat rappers and everybody was complaining that Ice Cube wasn't fat, I Am Sci-Fi said, you know who was fat? Ice Trey. That was a fat bastard right there.
Oh, Ice Trey.
Ice Trey.
How many ice cubes can you fit in an ice tray? Yeah.
Jackalope suggested that if and when Scott decides to take on a new name for one day, it should definitely be Squeerini. That's what should be your name for the day.
You think so? All right.
Yes.
Squeerini.
All right, I'm in.
Johnson. Yes, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And the winner for the week for throwing Tuesday's TMS into the explicit category with the speed and accuracy of a Steel Team sniper, Casey Kasem, somewhere in a yurt in Washington.
Yeah. We still don't know where he is. Somebody... No. So Daryl claims he's up in Washington State.
Yeah, he is.
Is
yeah,
he?
It was just on the news this morning that he's in Washington.
Oh, so it's a done. Okay. Well, then
his
what
wife,
was all that?
Ferreted him away to so that she could manage his care because she was.
Well, she has the right to do that.
Well, apparently,
doesn't she?
Yeah, well, yeah. To take him wherever she wants. Sure.
Yeah. And take care of him and do whatever. It's mm-hmm. not like she buried him in the yard and said that's my
no,
right
but
as a wife.
There's some reason that she had to do that. She felt like she had to do that. So.
All right.
Whatever the case.
She felt like she had to get him away from his kids because the kids were trying to intervene.
That's probably it, yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, very good. Always good to talk to you, Cleo. Hope you're having a good day.
Sure.
May the rest of your week be awesome, all right? And you're,
okay.
And you are young and your hair's great.
Oh, thanks.
Bye now.
All right. Okay, so real quick on that game. Give me the name again.
Rimmed capsule.
I really hate the name.
R-Y-M-D. I hate the name too. It's for those in the listening audience. RYMDKAPSEL.
It's just bad marketing. It's almost like there's a bit of genius going on here, and the one mm-hmm. everything's got its weakness. The Death Star was amazing, but it had that little hole for Luke to shoot shit in.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it's that's
one little problem.
It's their name, but that game's genius. Like, addicting. Now, here's my only problem, and maybe you can, I don't know, you can console me or something.
Yeah.
It stresses me out. The timer stresses me out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't ever get my little dudes back fast enough, and I know. I just lose them left and right.
Yeah, the thing I've figured out to do. Let me give a little
give
bit of background.
Give the synopsis, go.
It looks like, it's like a cross between Tetris and StarCraft with a little bit of tower defense thrown in for good measure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best description I could
And I hate tower defense, so I already come to this with some trepidation about that, but trust me, it is light tower defense.
It is very light tower defense. Yeah. So basically, you are assembling a floating space station. You're assembling Deep Space Nine in space, but you're using Tetris pieces to do it.
It's like Tron version of a space station. Like, it's minimalistic. It's very interesting.
It really is. Yeah. And so you're assembling, so you're attaching these rooms of different colors to your space station, and corridors to connect them all, and each room has a different feature. So it's either generating food, it's generating energy, it's generating materials to build stuff with, and then a little timer on the bottom. While you're building, while you're assembling, when the timer gets to the end, you get attacked by a wave of aliens, and you want to make sure that you run all your little people to the defense room to pick up their weapons and shoot the aliens. Yeah. And then as soon as those aliens are dead, you set them right back on course.
And always have at least two dudes per station, or else that guy's going to die.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause if he's running around loose, the aliens are probably going to pick him off. Yeah. And, way on the outskirts that you want to kind of build towards are these monoliths, and researching on these monoliths uncovers bonuses like making your little dudes run faster, or slowing down the aliens, or making your shots shoot further.
Yeah.
And, God, it's just
so hard to explain, really, to give it any justice, because it's aesthetically speaking, it's really nifty. Like, just
it really is. It's a beautiful,
beautiful game, but it's so simple and so clean. And I don't know what's going on there. Like, some genius UI is happening. It's really, really smart. Mm-hmm. Brian was right. It's awesome. It's only $4 on iOS, and it's $5 on the Vita. You can get it there as well.
Mm-hmm. And, probably on Google Play as well. I mean, I think it's probably going to be on everything, but you definitely want a big touch screen for it. So I recommend, if you're trying to decide what to play it on, because if you get it for the Vita, you're playing it on the little Vita touch screen. If you're playing it on an iPad, you get that all that real estate, which you're going to want.
Yeah. You zoom in and stuff and all that, but Brian's right. You better real estate, I think, on the iPad version or tablet version.
It gives you a better idea of where you're walking towards, where you're floating towards.
It is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. I'm impressed.
And while you're playing it, you're thinking of, oh, I want to play this again so I can do this a little bit differently the next time.
Yeah.
You know, build it a little bit differently.
Yeah, because you got to be smart. Oh, and the way the pieces work, it's just it's devious. Mm-hmm. So nice recommendation. It's good. I like it a lot. Cool. Between that and what was the other app I was messing with? I can't remember. Oh, talk about a completely different aesthetic, but there's a game called 1839 or 1849. That's what it is. Uh-huh. And it's a like a city builder simulator without all the free to play garbage. It's a straight up pay to play it, but buy the game.
Like not a freemium.
No. And if you're a fan of any of those old like Caesar games or Pharaoh or the kind of old city builder games,
Age of Empires, stuff like that.
That's what this is. It's a city builder, kind of SimCity-ish kind of game, but set in the gold rush of 1849. And I love Western-y crap anyway, so that stuff's already up my alley. It's really well done. You're not big on that whole
Western
motif.
Gold,
yeah, I like that stuff. So that for me is a nice motif, but it's also just nice for once to get a city builder on iOS that isn't some stupid buy extra gems to hurry things up and all that stuff. They don't do any of that.
Right.
So 1849, worth it. Go get it. Cool. All right. There you go. Game reviews. The end of the show.
Take that, Twitch.
We'll be back tonight. Don't forget patreon.com/TMS to support us. You guys you become our bosses this way. So if you want to sit in a big office with a cigar hanging out your mouth and order us around, then here's your chance. Wow. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for the audio stream today. Twitter, we can be found at Coverville for Brian, at Scott Johnson for me, and at MorningStream for the show. And real quick, Coverville today, what are you doing?
Yeah, so two very bizarre and diametrically opposed birthdays this week. Lead singer of the Sisters of Mercy is having a birthday, so a couple sets of Sisters of Mercy covers. Mm-hmm. And Joe Cocker also having a birthday this week.
Wow.
So I'm going to separate the two with a set of indie hodgepodge just to kind of cleanse the palate before we go from one extreme to the other. But a lot of great covers. I mean, Joe Cocker, best known for stuff like his cover of the Beatles with a little help from my friends and his cover of the Letter by the Box Tops. But he's made those so iconic that those versions themselves now have people covering them in that style. So people are covering Joe Cocker's cover of With a Little Help from My Friends.
Guess what this is. See if you can guess here.
All right.
What's that song?
That's You Can Leave Your Hat On.
That's right.
A Randy Newman song covered by Joe Cocker.
I didn't know that. See, I always learned something on here.
Yep.
Nicely done.
Yeah, he's done a lot of covers, but there are still some Joe Cocker originals that that we're going to listen to.
Okay, awesome. Well, there you go. Joe Cocker Minute is done tonight or today. Coverville.com for that. We'll see you guys later for Team SPM. Let's leave them with a little music.
All right, this one's going out to Fire Strega in the chat room, also known as Cat Shemp. Hey, Brian, hope I'm not too late, but I'd like to make a request for around May 17th, which will be a Saturday. So a Thursday or Monday show would be fine. May 17th will be my first wedding anniversary. Last year, my now husband, Jeff, tried to put in a request, but either it being sent to the wrong email or being too late caused it to never come about. He really wanted my wedding song to somehow be related to our wedding, since it was going to end up that we couldn't include it in the actual event. So, Brian, you're my last hope. Can you play a cover of Sting's Until? Blah, blah, blah. I will once again have that replace the wedding song that was supposed to be. Thanks, Cat Shemp, Fire Strega.
Nice.
So I'm not 100% sure I understand what what the basis is, but I guess he wanted a song in the wedding and something related to it that he requested for TMS. So
right, something
I hope
like
that's
that.
The case. But anyway, so Sting did the song Until for the soundtrack to Kate and Leopold. And there aren't a lot of covers of it, but there is one in kind of my favorite style, which is a lot of bass guitar and female vocals. This is Sophie Burkle-Sarbit. From her 2009 album Young and Foolish, with a great, I won't say very stripped down version of the song, but it is very different from what I think actually is a more stripped down version original by Sting. Sophie Burkle-Sarbit, say that five times fast, yeah, with her cover of Until by Sting.
All right, here it is. And don't forget, just like Terpster says,
oh, you have no idea how much I need to pee.
And I do. I got to pee bad. So here it is. Until we meet again tonight. You'll listen to this song. We'll see you guys tonight. 5:30. Don't forget, be here. Bye.
If I caught the world in a bottle and everything was still beneath the moon, without your love, would it shine for me? If I was smart as Aristotle and understood the rings around the moon, what would it all matter if you loved me? Here in your arms, where the world is impossibly still, with a million dreams to fulfill and a matter of moments until the dancing ends. Here in your arms, when everything seems to be clear, not a solitary thing would I fear, except when this moment comes near the dancing's end. If I caught the world in an hourglass, saddled up the moon so we could ride until the stars grew dim, until one day you'll meet a stranger and all the noise is silenced in the room. You'll feel that you're close to some mystery. In the moonlight, everything shatters. You feel as if you've known him all your life. The world's oldest lesson in history. Here in your arms, where the world is impossibly still, with a million dreams to fulfill and a matter of moments until the dancing ends. Here in your arms, when everything seems to be clear, Not a solitary thing would I feel, except when this moment comes near the dancing's end.
Jeez.